This morning I bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us together in fellowship. In today's gospel is a very interesting story where Jesus is a guest at a prominent Pharisee's house on the Sabbath day. This is one of the many lessons that we can learn from our Lord. He was a man of no discrimination whatsoever, building relationships with the high as well as the low. He was a true example of a brother's keeper. The theme of his life was, all people are equal and must be given equal opportunity. And this is why when he came, he died on the cross for who? Some? No, but for all. And we read in John 3:16 that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So Jesus Christ is not discriminating, and his death on the cross has been done for all people. So I drew for a theme today, all eyes on Jesus. All eyes on Jesus. And I drew this theme from the first verse of the text, which reads in Luke 14, verse 1. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully washed. He was being carefully washed. Every time I read this text, I get the picture of Jesus sitting in the midst of evil, because these people did not have any good intention whatsoever. One thing we must remember is this: the Pharisees did not like him. They didn't like him. They didn't like him because his ways were not their ways. All right? You had love and compassion versus law and tradition. You had love and compassion versus law and tradition. You see, Jesus was a man of love and a man of compassion. Everywhere he went, he was doing good, all right? And everywhere he went, he was in love with people, and he was touched by people's infirmities and always wanted to do something to help people. For the Pharisees, it was all about the law, and it was about their tradition. It is something that we find today in many of our churches. Many churches today, evangelical churches, are out there just following the script of their tradition and the things that they think is the standard of the church, far removed from the Word of God. But you see, the thing is that the church must always be built on the Word of God. And if the church is established on the Word of God, the church is all about the love and compassion of God. It is not built on tradition. All right? And so Jesus Christ comes and he's concerned about reaching lives. He's concerned about touching lives. This is the core purpose of the church. We must be concerned about reaching and touching lives and touching souls with the Word of God, because only the gospel has the power to transform people. Nothing else can do that, my friends. Apart from the gospel, there is no change. We don't stand up and give Bible stories on Sunday morning. Bible stories cannot change lives. What changes lives is when those stories are brought forth through the power of the cross. And then things happen in the life of people. So this is what Jesus was all about, touching lives. And the Pharisees were all about the law and tradition. So here it was on the Sabbath day when Jesus Christ went to visit with this man. So let's see in this story how Jesus Christ touched lives and how all eyes were on him in this story. The first thing I want to talk about is Jesus as the middleman. Let's talk about Jesus as the middleman. In Luke 14, verse 2, is that there in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Notice that the Pharisees and his disciples are around him, and a sick man is there in the midst of them in front of him. And Jesus stands in the middle of these people. He's standing in the middle of it. And every time the crowd gathered during the time of Jesus, when he was at a particular place, he was always in the middle of the people. And people were there with different conditions and different situations. And just as it is this morning in worship, Jesus is in the middle of this worship this morning. And he's here to minister to every heart and every person that is sitting under the authority of my voice. All right? So Jesus Christ was the middleman over there at this place. He stands in the middle because he holds all things together. He is the man who holds all things together. So every time Jesus appeared at a place, he was always in the middle. The Bible says in Colossians 1, verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things holds together. All things hold together, rather, in him. The big things as well as the small things, Jesus holds them together. All right? And this is the important thing that we must understand this morning. Jesus holds the galaxy together, as big as it is. We sing this old Sunday school song that says he has the whole world in his hands. Jesus holds the whole world in his hands, but he holds the whole galaxy in his hands, but he also holds in his hands those little things that concerns you and me this morning. Jesus holds in his hands. He holds all things together, and it is around him that we gather this morning. It is because of Jesus that people of different colors and people of different creed can come together and worship in one place, because he, Jesus, holds all things together. It is because of Jesus that we can drop our feelings, our norms, our ideas this morning and come in this place, in one place, and worship. Because why? He, Jesus, holds all things together. Give God a hand of praise for him. Another example of this can be found with Jesus at the well in the story in John chapter 4 when he was at the well in Samaria. And Jesus is at the well, and this woman comes at the well to get water and to get into this dialogue while the disciples had gone downtown to get some food. They come back at the well. This big thing has happened, and all of the people from town in Samaria had come down at the well. And you know, obviously, that the Bible tells us that the Jews and the Samaritan did not come together in one place. But here at this point, Jesus is in the middle, his disciples is on this side, and the Samaritans are on this side. He brings them together. The Bible instead in the story tells us that Jesus he spent the night in Samaria that night with his disciples. This is amazing when you look at the story. Here he's bringing people together. Jesus is the middle man. We see that in John chapter 19, through verse 18, where Jesus is on the cross. And on the cross, he is in the middle of two thieves. And the Bible says, as he's there, his hands are stretched wide open on both sides. And Jesus is in the middle of these two people. Why? Because he is the middleman. He's come to bring life. He's come to bring eternity to light in our world. So Jesus always in the middle. He's not taking sides. He is there this morning. He's here this morning in worship, seeking to save all who look to him. Next point this morning, second point this morning, Jesus, let's see Jesus not only as the middleman, but let's see Jesus as the master of mankind. In Luke chapter 14, verse 2, the same text, it says, there in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. I use this text two times because it has some good juice in it for us this morning. All right? First of all, this was a trap or a snare that had been set up by the Pharisees. All right? They set up a snare to get Jesus. Why? Because it was on the Sabbath day. And on the Sabbath, no work was done. As a matter of fact, even healing someone was considered work. And so now Jesus is coming to visit them, but in their hearts, they had a different plan. And the plan was to trap Jesus Christ. So to bring this guy who is sick and put him there, because they know Jesus is a man of love and a man that is full of compassion. Jesus cannot see someone suffering or going through problems in life and just walk away. He can't do that. So they're trying to trap him and to bring this guy and put him in front of him. This guy did not appear in their gathering by some coincidence. They allow him to come there. This is the master of men. Jesus is the master of men because he created man's heart. Jesus knows the heart of every person. You see, he can gather in a place and just look at people and know what they're thinking. You know what? This morning he is in worship with us. And Jesus is seeing every heart in this room this morning. He knows those who are true worshipers and those who are not. Remember, he told this woman at the well, he said, there is coming a time when those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. It is because he knows all things. And this morning, as he is in worship, he knows every heart that is tuned into heaven this morning. Jesus knows the hearts that are here because, you know, it is a norm. We have to be to church on Sunday. Jesus knows it because he sees right in and through us this morning. So he was in the midst of these people looking at them and knowing exactly what their desires were or their heart desires were. Jesus knows his creation even more than an inventor knows his invention. That's how much Jesus knows his creation. But Jesus is the master victor over any snare of the evil one. He is victorious. He has overcome. He has conquered. And because he is a conqueror, no one can conquer him. I don't care what kind of snare that they lay or what kind of plot or trap that they lay out for him, they cannot conquer him. You see, the Bible says he was tempted in every way, but yet did not sin. Do you know why we get tempted? The devil allows temptation to come our way so that we can sin and fall away from the grace of God. That's why temptation comes in your life. That's why temptation comes in my life. You remember the first Adam. That's what the Bible calls our Lord and Savior, the second Adam, because there was the first Adam. The first Adam was tempted, and he sinned, and he died. All right? Jesus Christ came to redeem. And when he came into the picture, the devil came to test him and to tempt him, but the devil did not succeed because Jesus overcame him, because Jesus is victorious. All right? He overcame the devil. Not only that, but they tried to kill him, but he cannot die. So they put him in a grave, and after 3 days, he got up again. Because the devil cannot overcome him. This is the reason why we look to him as the first fruit of our redemption. Jesus is the first fruit of our redemption. Because he lived, we will live also. And the devil cannot stop that, my friends. Give God a hand of praise this morning. So Jesus knew these people. What was their intention? The intention behind all of this? To accuse him. They wanted to accuse him of doing something wrong, and the reason is so that they can kill him or do something to him. They were so upset with him. In these Pharisees were the exact character of the devil. My friends, the devil does not like God and doesn't like anything that is attached to God. The devil doesn't like the church. The reason why we continue to persevere is because God is on our side. But if the devil had his chance, my friends, he would crush us. He would destroy us. He'll stop us. But God has not allowed that to happen. And because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God is greater, my friend, and he lives on the inside of us. He keeps us alive. He keeps us well. All right? So they were trying to accuse Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation 12, verse 10, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. All right? He is the accuser of the brethren. He goes before God and he accuses us like he did with Job. He said, try and just give him to me and see if he won't curse you to your face. The devil does the same thing with everyone who places their trust in God. He goes before God and he accuses us. And the reason is because he wants to get his hands on us so he can stop us. But my friends, we stand firm on the sure foundation. And this foundation is Jesus Christ. If you fall on him, you will break. You can't fall on him. He's stronger than anything else. He's so high, you can't get over him. He's so low, you can't get under him. He's so wide, you can't get around him. He is the man. If you're looking for someone to trust, you trust Jesus Christ. Because he knows everything, my friends. And the scripture tells us this morning, look, but Jesus overcame them by making the case, this one case. Listen to this. Because they were looking for a way to trap him. He says, this man, this sick man, is my precious possession. And how did he say that? Look at this in John 14, verse 5. He says, if one of you had a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out? All right? He's saying to them, in other words, just as an ox or your ox or your child is so important and precious to you, so is this man who is sick here. He is very precious to me. It is the reason why I came to this earth. He says, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has sent me. All right? God has sent me here so that I can bring liberty to those who are oppressed. And this is the work that Jesus does, my friend. This morning you were sitting in church, and maybe you have been downtrodden by life in some way or some form, some shape. Like this guy, the Pharisees saw him and they thought he was nothing. He was no good. They didn't see any life in him. They didn't see any you know, life at all in this guy. And so they just threw him down there to use him like a trap. And many times in life, some situations in our life make us to feel that way. Because of what our parents said to us at some point in life. Or maybe because of what our friends said to us at some point in life. Or what the school is doing or the system that we find ourselves in. And sometimes we withdraw and then we begin to feel like we are nothing. We're no good. We're meaningless. We're useless. I come to let you know this morning that Jesus says to you this morning that you mean everything to him and he loves you and you are precious because you were fearfully and wonderfully made by him. That's the message. That's the message. That's why he came and died on the cross. All right, God is saying to you, you are so special and precious that I am willing to come here and lay down my reputation and get on the cross to die because of the life that I give to you. That life means everything. That life is full of all the glory that God had when he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. God deposited into us something that no other creature has. And this is why we need to be so joyful about our redemption and the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. We need to be so joyous about what we have in Christ this morning because of what he brings to us. The message here is that Jesus came to seek and save everyone who comes to him. Everyone. This guy was a nobody in the eyes of the Pharisees, but now he was somebody in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Let's look at our last point this morning. Jesus as the watchful one. Jesus as the watchful one. Look in Luke 14, verse 7. In Luke 14, verse 7, the scripture says, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. Look at that text. Now, they were watching Jesus, but Jesus also was watching them. All right? He was watching them at all. The Bible tells us here that when he noticed, he was watching them. But you see, notice The thing that is so important about this text, I realize that the thing we take for granted, the little things we take for granted, are also a big part of eternity. Okay? Listen to this. The little things that we take for granted are a very big part of eternity. And the message you must take home today is that God notices us. God notices us. All right? It's the message we must carry. Remember, he said that when we stand before him, he'll say to us, when I was sick, all right, you ministered to me, or when I was hungry, you fed me, or when I was naked, you clothed me. When I didn't have a place to stay, you took me in. And then we would stand there and be, you know, shocked by that word and say, but Lord, when did I do that to you? The reason is because when you were touching lives in your own little way, you did not realize that you were touching Jesus. All right? And now he's telling you, just as you were touching those lives that meant nothing, you were touching me. Okay? And now it's time for you to be honored by that. But look, these are things that we don't take so important. Jesus is sitting at his table, and the people are taking seats. And Jesus is watching them as they take their seats. And everybody was fighting to sit at the seat of honor as they came to sit. And that became a matter of importance to him. The message that Jesus is teaching us here is the message of humility. That we need to humble ourselves. And when we humble ourselves, life is no longer about us, but it is about the people around us. He even talked in that story about if you went and, you know, call your neighbors to a party and you call the people who are at the same level with you at the party and your families and your friends, he says you're going to get back the same reward, because the same honor, because they're going to invite you too, and then you'll be rewarded for what you did. He says, but when you call the lame and the blind and the cripple, and you call these people and you honor them because they cannot pay you back, then God in heaven, your God, your Father in heaven, will honor you in return. That's humility. That's what being humbled is all about. When we can stop caring for ourselves and take the opportunity to care for others who needs to be cared for. That's what being humble is all about. Not putting ourselves, you know, in front of everything. And God is concerned about that. That's what Jesus did. When the Bible says he put on human flesh, took on the form of human. Do you know what it is for God to take on human flesh? You know what it is, my friends? Do you know the level of humility that is? For God to leave heaven and put on human flesh. And the Bible says he made himself of no reputation at all. And came down. He came down on earth and was born in a manger. So low that people couldn't even recognize him. And the very folks that he came to, the Pharisees and scribes, he came to them in a very lowly manner, to the point where they did not even know who he was. God wants us to humble ourselves. Because when we humble ourselves, it is through that God can do great things through us, great things through you, and greater things through myself. So we need to humble ourselves before God so that God will lift us. In Luke 14, verse 11, he said, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. When I read this text, every time I read this text, I think about me. Nobody else but me. I'm thinking about when I stand before God. And I was sharing with Debbie the other day. I said, Debbie, I think God is going to honor you more than he's going to honor me when we stand before him. Looking at the works that Debbie do around the church. I mean, she's with the food pantry. She leaves her work on Thursday. She comes here and they give people food. She walks them to the car, pray with them, and they leave. And when I look at her work, I said, Debbie, God's going to honor you more. She said, no, Pastor, God's going to honor you. I said, no, Debbie, God's going to honor you more. And we kept going back and forth with that. Because, friends, I am telling you, God said it there. We have a lot of people today who are looking for first place, even in the church, pastors and bishops. I know some of them will be giving themselves these big titles and honoring themselves in the church, moving from one level to another. What are we looking for, friends? This is all about God. And God wants us to pour our lives into others and bring them so that they will see the light that he brings to us. Let your light shine so that men will see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. This is what it's all about, my friends. And I pray this morning that these words from God would encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing this. That God will never bring you this far and leave you. God will never teach you to swim and let you drown. God will never build his home in you and move away or lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen. God bless you.